have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Everybody, welcome back. You know, it's Cedric. Welcome back to Elation Radio with Mr. Cedric. I'm always talking about relentless pursuit, and I tell you what, I've had some pursuits these last few weeks, but man, God is so good. He has blessed me in ways that I couldn't imagine. But tonight is a good night. I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about talking to a friend of mine, and we got into this deep discussion, and you know, I thought I would just bring it on the show and let's talk a little bit about it. But the show is about tolerance. And, you know, I think of tolerance as putting up with something or someone that that may have a different opinion. Maybe I see them as inferior, maybe superior, I don't know. But it's just dealing with somebody or someone or something. And I wanted to put that in the context of religious tolerance. And I know that's a really touchy subject, but you know what? Hey, that's what we do, relentlessly pursuing some answers. And, you know, I hear a lot of my friends, we talk about always getting along. We talk a lot about not hurting each other's feelings. You know, we do a lot of talking about things, but tolerance, what I see today and what I've seen is, you know, the way we tolerate one another. And, you know, I'm sure somebody out there going to correct me, but the way I see it today and I see it being done is simple. We just ignore each other. We have nothing to talk about, right? We just don't engage one another. And I think that that's not necessarily tolerance. I just wanted to have a chat tonight. I know I got my brother Jason on with me, and I know he's going to bring some wisdom to me because I'm a little immature on this subject. So, hey, Jason, you on with me tonight?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I am. How are we doing today?
Man, I wanted to introduce this subject again about tolerance, or in my context, I was thinking of religious tolerance, and I don't even know if I got the scripture in the right context, but I remember in Exodus 22:21, I believe, where it says, "Thou shalt not neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." And I took that that text because I think that a lot of times, I know for a fact, a few times I've heard sermons where the speaker or the preacher was using that, he basically was pleading compassion, pleading for compassion about tolerance, and he basically, usually when I've heard it, then, you know, again, they're pleading with the most powerful people to have compassion on the less powerful, or you know, if you're outnumbered, if you're the minority in something. So, but I took it to mean that this whole thing was based on like, I look at tolerance as a mutual identity where, let's say you're a Buddhist, you know, and you go to your temple to worship. I'm Christian. I go to my temple to worship. We see each other in the workplace. We may be friends. Though I may not have the same belief system as you have, I don't mind you going to worship your God or worship in your way. And so when I think of tolerance, those are the kinds of things I think about. Now, how about you?
I was going to say, like, you know, as we dive into tolerance and we start focusing on, you know, in the faith field world, in the Christian world, I think if you take a step back, I love the definition of tolerance you just gave. It's almost finding a common denominator, right? I think that's the basis of tolerance, because if I had to define tolerance, it is that I won't say accepting, but interacting with people and ideas that are contrary to your own. And not just interacting, but truly engaging, right? You said earlier, like, the way we tolerate each other is ignoring each other, and I wouldn't define that as tolerance. I would define that as avoid, right? Tolerance to me is, to your point, you're a Buddhist in your Buddhist temple, I'm a Christian in my church, but yet and still we can sit, we can talk, we can have a conversation and interact with each other in spite of our different beliefs. And I think not just from from a Christian perspective, just from a cultural perspective, that's, I feel like that's maybe long gone.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, we've got some social issues that are going on right now that we, you know, I do want to touch on a couple of them in the church, because I struggle with some things in the church. We talk about tolerance. Like for me, it used to be young men coming to churches with their pants pulled down, right, or coming into the church house, they were less, you know, they looked less than desirable. I didn't know their hearts. I didn't know their brains. But I know what I saw, I was like, oh, no. But then as time kicks on by, it was okay to come to church looking like that. And now we say, we use the thing where we say, well, God says, come as you are. Like, man, I ain't, you know, whenever I heard that as a kid, come as you are, I thought they was talking about your heart, your mind. Not your physical body, you know. I thought you're supposed to at least try to clean up coming to church. And so we have moved the marker when it comes to our dress and our attire, because as I remember studying history, the reason why we in our community actually dress up to go to church is because going way back to the days of slavery, that was the one day, and then even after slavery, that was the one day where most people didn't work, and they pulled out their Sunday best. They wanted to look and feel their best because the rest of the week they couldn't, right? They had to work, and usually they worked sun up to sundown, and people in Texas know sun up is early in the morning in the summer. And in the summer, it don't go down till late. So easily you can work a 15-hour day, right? So now we've grown to allow and to accept. I'm not even going to say allow anymore. Accept, come as you are. But now what about, we're getting into some other things. What about the, are we accepting of people who live together who are not married? Are we accepting of... the things that we are, let me change the way I'm saying it. The things that we are starting to tolerate today in our churches, I mentioned the dress code. I mentioned people shacking up. And for all y'all who ain't old enough to know what that means, that you live together as if you're married, but you ain't married. You might have kids together. You do everything that married people do, except you're just not married, right? And then the big one is I don't even know how to. Well, the LGBTQ, yeah, that, the LGBTQ and all those other letters, and I apologize, I don't mean to offend anybody, I just don't know all of them, the communities. And are we just tolerating these things? How is that going over in your church, Jason, if you've had any experience with it?
So it's typically in both in the churches I've been at, it's been one of those situations that it is a touchy subject with the Christian community, right? I'll tell you as a Christian, I truly believe that as an individual, I'm supposed to have tolerance for a lot of other individuals who don't see the world as I do, right? I'm called to love. I'm called I don't know if it's accept the right word, but it's, I'm not condemning you because you live a life in what my belief system is say is sinful. I'm not condemning you because you live a life that Christ is not the head and you're doing things that opposes him. I'm not condemning you for that. In fact, yeah. I'm loving on you. I'm embracing you. I'm walking with you, right? I'm not judging you because you happen to be engaging in a stand that's probably a little bit more visible than the sin that I'm engaged in, right? If we really truly read scripture and commit ourselves to that, then tolerance should not be something that we do. It should be something that we are, right? You know, now, with that being said, I think when it comes to things that God has defined, that Christ has defined, that's where I think as a community we have to be more restrictive to, right? You know, we don't have the ability to say, hey, this is okay, when God has said something different about it, right? So, and I think the challenge we have You know, and I'll say this, not just in the Christian community, but just across the board, is how do you balance those two, right? There are these beliefs that I hold very near and dear to my heart, but I know that my beliefs are good for me and your beliefs may be good for you. How do I tolerate, and in the definition I gave earlier, where we can interact, where we can engage one another and still feel like I'm not turning my back on my beliefs. And, you know, and it's difficult. But what I've seen in the church is it's almost inverse. The things that we should be tolerating, we're not.
Yeah.
And the things that we shouldn't be tolerating, we are. And I think because of that, you've got a lot of confused people outside the church looking at the church talking about, you know, I don't know what y'all are. I don't know what y'all stand for. You know, y'all don't look any different from anything else that I deal with in this world. Right, because you know,
okay.
One of the things that they say, church is hypocritical, right?
Okay, that's what I want to get to, because like I was saying before, like some of the things that we have going on in our churches, you know, I think one of the number one things is racism. Then I think the number two thing in the church is sexism. Then as I go through my list, you know, I already mentioned homophobia, and now xenophobia and transphobia, you know, and we got 100 other things going on. And so I want to get into what you were talking about because I think that in the church, when we show intolerance toward people, because I like what you were about to say. I don't know if you were about to say this or when you said that, gosh, I can't think of how you worded it. My apologies. But when you were talking about the people, I got the feeling that you were saying, well, it's not the sin that I should accept, but I should accept the person. Am I right? Or am I wrong?
Yep.
Is that not what you were saying?
Nope, that's exactly
okay.
Right.
So, like I struggle, you know, and I'm open and honest. I try to be honest with people. I struggle with all these things, and I know we only have an hour, so I'm not going to beat everybody over the head, but check this out. Now, when I think of religious tolerance, let's work in reverse. I like to think about the things that are not involved in tolerance. In other words, if you are a Muslim or Buddhist, I don't say, here it is. My belief is that our religions are not the same, right? So me saying that I'm tolerant doesn't mean that I'm telling somebody their religion is the exact same as mine, right? Right?
Right.
I'm not telling people that your belief system, your religious beliefs, are even equal to my own, right? Because there are those religions that are completely contrary to what we believe in Christianity. I'm also saying that these beliefs that other people hold, I'm not saying that they are harmless to society. And what I mean by that is you know, the big thing about the Middle East, where we have so-called Muslims who are suicide bombers, right? And then, and in Christianity, we have this, what we call the so-called what's the word we're using today for our religious right? What's that? What's the term we use, Jason? What's the phrase?
The not like you're not talking about the radical.
Our radical Christians. I can't think of the word.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying that the footprint they leave on this earth is harmless. Why? Because a lot of them are all about racism. A lot of them will support you, support your racism as long as you support their quote unquote agenda, right? Whatever they have. And so, you know, and then it goes on and on, you know, religious tolerance, you know, I can just keep going on the things that it's not, you know, it doesn't involve your it doesn't mean that just because you have a sexual orientation doesn't mean that I say I accept you, but I don't have to accept your belief. I don't have to accept, you know, what you do. But again, religious tolerance tells me that it's the person, the heart that I'm interested in, right? And I can be corrected on all of this, right? And it doesn't mean that just because I don't, if you're Muslim, it doesn't mean that I can't talk about my God to you as you talk about your God to me. I believe that you need to know more about my God, right? Because that's just, I believe that our way is the way, you know, and I've had people question that. But I also believe that in order for us to coexist, I don't believe that I need to temper my religious practices so that I don't offend you and your lack of or your different practices. So I wanted to put that out there real quick because I know we're about to go somewhere deep with this. But having said that, Jason, having said that, have you come across any issues in your church where you were like, this ain't right? Maybe you wanted to talk to the pastor. Maybe you did. Have you ever come across issues such as this?
I think the biggest issue I've seen, and I've had it happen in a couple of churches now, is, you know, allowing people into the body of Christ who don't fully submit to the body. Right, and I know I've had several discussions with a lot of people about who actually can be part of the body, right?
Uh-huh.
I know, you know, we talked about it earlier, churches come as you are, and I truly believe that. I believe the building should be an open, should be like a hospital. If you're hurt, if you're wounded, if you're sick, this is the place you need to be, and we should never close our door to the sick, the wounded, the hurting, right? Now,
mm-hmm.
If you want to work at the hospital, I think that has to learn a certain level of credentials. And what I've typically seen at the church, and, you know, it's just one of those things that in the name of tolerance, we say, oh, yes, not only can you come and worship here, but you can also be a member, right? You can also now connect yourself with this body in the form of a membership. And honestly, for me, that's a struggle because I'm like, well, if we're all still part of the same body, shouldn't we have the same head, which means that we've all committed ourselves that this is right and this is wrong, right? So, and I've always said it, it's not the person who's dealing in the sin that makes them right or wrong. It's the heart and their perspective on it, right? Because we all struggle with sin on some level. But I think there's a difference between a person who says, hey, you know, I'm living with this girl, and I know it's wrong, but I'm really trying to figure out a way to get out of it. Right there, in that assertion, they're saying to you, "I know what's wrong. I know what God has to say about it, and I've accepted that. And I'm just struggling in my flesh to get past it." As opposed to somebody saying, "Yeah, I'm living with her, but you know, God, it's not. It's all right. God knows my heart, right? You know, with no degree of repentance, with no." You know, at least illumination to say, like, hey, I know what God has to say about this, and I know I'm not operating within it. So, I've seen that personally in my struggles with the church. Yeah.
Yeah, I got to ask. So your struggle with the church, one of your struggles right now that you just defined is if you're living in sin, you're saying they can't become members? They can come to the church, but they can't become members of the church?
That's where my heart is.
That's a yes or no question. So that's where your belief is. Now, you ain't no pastor or nothing, are you? I'm just kidding. Because though I do understand where you're coming from, I think that, but wouldn't that be discrimination?
From a cultural perspective, yes, it is. Right.
But
from what
our culture
tells us and defines discrimination as, yes, it is. But I don't believe that we're called to love everybody. But there is a very strong prescription of what it takes to be part of the body. Right?
But God has defined it.
He told us what that is.
So how is that different than somebody discriminating against you because you're a man of color? How does that differ?
Well, I mean, when you talk about discrimination, there's typically no difference. you know, for me, the only thing that separates it is the heart behind it, right? Am I discriminating and holding things unfair to you because of a belief that I carry, or am I following the will of God in what I do?
Okay, but the Mormon Church thought, I think up until 1976, that black people were demons. People of color were demons, and they couldn't even be a part of the church. The reason I bring that up is tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to tolerate? Like I get what you're saying, and I don't want to make it bigger than what it is, but I do want to make a big deal out of it. But so you're saying I can tolerate you living in sin as long as in your heart you confess that sin and you work on changing?
Yeah. Repenting heart.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not judging you. I'm saying that tolerance is to tolerate. No, I'm joking. I was going to say tolerate that opinion. But no, I think you have a point here, because a lot of times in the church, we will tolerate certain things but not other things. In other words, we will not tolerate a pastor and his committing adultery. Most churches will not tolerate that one bit, right? They'll love the man, they'll hate the sin, but the man got to go with the sin, right?
Right.
But check this out. If it's one of the deacons, it's all right. It ain't all right. They still make a big deal out of it, but they don't kick him out of the church. They don't strip him of his title, of his position. So
right.
I guess the point I'm trying to get to here is, do you think that in the church that we are kind of nitpicking the things that we tolerate?
Yeah,
I'm going to drop a tactical nuke. I don't know if y'all been looking at the 1-6 hearings, but it appears to me that all these religious right folk who say that they are Christians, who talk about their Christian values, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them appear to be standing right behind Donald Trump, who... You ain't got to be no judge to see that there's a lot of really, really immoral things going on. And there's a lot of character flaws there. But is that okay? Because it appears to, for a lot of Christians, that that's okay. Because he's doing what I want. Like, how do we define? How did we even get here in this world? Go ahead.
Well, so when you talk about not just Donald Trump but just politics as a whole, I think as a religious community, that's one of the areas that we're tolerating things that we shouldn't, right? Now, the leaders, the people who are leading us and operate in that capacity, you know, it's sad that we've gotten to a point that we would tolerate some of those behaviors from these individuals just because they help us move what we feel is our Christian agenda. And to me, I think that's not what the church is supposed to be doing. You know, that's not the tolerance we're supposed to be operating with. You know?
Okay, so...
We're supposed to have a standard, a moral standard, and we hold that moral standard regardless.
Okay, So let me ask, you know, I'm just asking questions here. How do you feel about the LGBT community serving in the church?
So that goes, right? Like, if membership to the church is a prerequisite to serving, then they can't be a member, so therefore they can't serve. If you have a church that says, like, hey, you know, most churches, they have that, right? You have to be a member in order to serve. So if that's
right.
The standard, I would say that no, right? Because before you start serving the church, you know, before you start serving the body, let's become part of the body. And you just showing up does not make you part of the body. You just coming to the church physically does not make you part of the body. Right? The works that you do don't make you part of the body.
So what you're saying, I ain't even saying I totally disagree. So what you're saying is it's okay for you to live this lifestyle. It's okay for you to come and visit the church. You can even pay your tithes, and you can even give an offering. But I'm not going to have you out serving. The reason I ask that is because in my church in Louisville, Kentucky, in our church, our pastor has a policy. You can become a member. We'd love to have you as a member because his philosophy is, how can I help you with your condition if you're not around? You know what I mean? How can I teach you if I'm alienating you? But he also says, I can't have you out front. I can't have you up in front of everybody. And so the only way you can serve in that capacity in the church that I attend is basically in the dark, in private, right? And it's still like you're a dirty little secret. Does that make sense? Is that
no.
what we do in the church, though? Because your way is no. And the way
I would tell you
that
approach
is
I would tell you that approach. I can't say that I 100% agree with that, because to your point, you're basically saying you can. It seems that you're more about the look than you are the heart, right?
Mm.
And I think that's the challenge where people get so frustrated with the church. We seem to be more about the look and how we present ourselves than the heart of the people. Because to your point, pastor messes around, has a baby by another baby. We are all ready to throw the pastor out, call him every name up and down the thing, you know.
Yeah.
But that tech, he not only does he have three baby mamas, kids all the same age, he's living with the fourth one. But we're going to be like, oh, no, right? You know, because no one knows. He's not on the face. He's not on the front. And I
right.
think, you know, that's definitely a challenge. I want to go back to something you said, honestly. I think, you know, like if you want to give an offering to the church as something to say, hey, God, I'm going to give you this blessing, you know, I would never turn you away. But tithing, you know, is part of that membership thing. It's part of that advice.
Right.
And truly, if I had it my way, I wouldn't even accept your tithes if you're not a member of the
right.
body.
Right?
Right, because, again, you're sending mixed messages. You can't be part of this body, right? You know, your lifestyle won't allow you to be part of the body, but I'm going to take your money. It's like, no, I'm not. So I think, and the thing about it, when I say we can't be part of a member, I don't mean that person should be alienated, because I believe the building of the church should always be about the community. Should always have openings to, like, you know, hey, we're doing this service for the family. Come out. You know, I don't care what religion you are. We just love the family and the family unit because God created it, and we want to do our best to try to help it grow. So even though that person may not be part of the body, I don't think that should segregate them from any participation in what the church is doing, other than the things that are strictly for the members, for the people who are part of the body, right? Yeah, come to church with us. Come break bread with us. Come eat with us.
But then how do you – okay, you basically what you're saying, you can come to functions, but your big stance is you won't be on the membership roll and you won't be serving out in front of the church. Because the reason I ask that is because we seem to, especially in the church, we're open to openly or closeted gay individuals, homosexual men. I mean, I ain't trying to be funny, but, you know, especially in the black church when I was growing up, it seemed like every musician was a gay male. He was a closeted gay male most of the time. But his mannerisms gave him away, you know. But they were very well accepted. And I've gone to some huge churches, and that's been the case. I've always been conflicted personally, but at the same time, you see, I believe this. I'm, as a man, I can never really know your heart. So I'm going to get to the point I was going to make about myself. I'm a man, and I don't believe I can ever truly get to know your heart. I'm sorry. It just don't quite work like that. I can't. You know, you can tell me anything. You can seem repentant. you can seem repentant. You can seem like you're saying, "Oh, I don't want to live like this no more," or "I don't want to live like this." But everything about you, 2 months later, you say you don't want to live a specific type of lifestyle. Let's just say same sex, but a couple of months later, you go get married to another man. Or you can say, "You know, I'm through fornicating. No more of these women. I'm no longer a player." A few months later, you know, I got 4 women that come visit the church. 1 different woman every Sunday is visiting the church. I mean, so like you can tolerate that type of behavior, even though I tell you, no, man, I'm. How do you know? And I think when I talk about tolerance with the church, because I don't want to just stick on that one subject matter, but when I think of tolerance in the church, I think that again, even with the different religions, I think that if I lived in a community like where my daughter lives, I mean, huge community, very diverse community, you know, Christians, Buddhists, and you know, you talk to the people, you get to know, they'll openly tell you. Muslims, I mean, just it's a melting pot when it comes to religion where she lives. And see, to me, religious tolerance is allowing these people to carry on with what they're doing without putting them down, without telling them how wrong they are. Am I wrong for? I mean, what do you think about that sort of thinking?
No, I think that's totally in line. Right. And now when you say carry on, you're talking about in the outside the body or within the body?
I'm talking about they're carrying on with their church. They're doing church the way they do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I think that's really what we're called to do, right? You know, we're not, I think that's the approach we're called to make, because if people have free will, right? And that free will, God's given everybody, and we can never take that away from it. But just like God wants us to exercise that free will willingly to embrace and accept him, that's what we have to do. So to try to free somebody out, keep somebody out, and create a negative approach to make people want to come to get to know God, that's not how we do things. We love them, right? We love on them. We walk with them. We let them carry their life on, and then we show them what a life in the light looks like, right? They look at us, and they watch us, and they watch us move, and they watch us operate. They watch us move with peace and joy in the midst of all the things, and our life is our biggest testimony. We don't need to shut people out and start telling people, you're doing wrong. If we're living our life the right way, that's going to be the biggest testimony. And that's gonna have a lot more than the words that we say.
Yeah, because again, as I go through life and as I meet people, I tell you what, I have met more Christians with mental health issues that I have ever met in my life, and I've been on. You know, I'm a contractor and a consultant, so I work, you know, I might have interact with 10 different companies in a year, but I've never met so many people as I have Christians who have mental health issues, and it is a challenge. We talk about tolerance. There are some things that I believe God calls us to be tolerant to, and then there are some things I believe God calls us to address. And to me, when you address an issue, you're not saying, let me give you a for instance. I was talking about mental health. Jason, if you know I got a problem, a mental health issue, and it's a deeply personal problem, but you see me acting out, you see when I'm off kilter, do you just say, "Oh, that's just who Brother Cedric is," and go on, or do you come and do you spend that time with me? Do you talk to me, as opposed to ignoring the fact that I have a problem? Basically, you won't confront me about my problem. And I'm not talking about in a negative way. I'm talking about in a very positive, reinforcing, reassuring way. Or do you just, "Man, that brother said he's got issues," and you just move on? You see, when I think of tolerance in our church. I think we do too much of the moving on. I think we do too much of the, you know, that ain't really my business. I think we do too much of the, you know what, I'm not going to get involved because, well, you know, this brother or sister might not want me involved. It's their personal business. And so some of the stuff that when I talk about tolerance, that's where I'm at. I hate being stuck in some of these issues. I just truly we are missing the mark.
Yeah,
because it's like we accept. I hate to say anything, like because my big thing used to be Jason growing up. My big thing used to be, Mama. Why I gotta wear a suit to church? If I don't wear a suit to church, Mama, it ain't gonna hurt nobody but me, cause I'm gonna get whooping when I get home. I know you're gonna whoop my behind, but Mama, I'd rather get that whooping than wear this itchy old suit to church, right? Who does it affect? Now, it doesn't affect anybody but me, right? Maybe it irritates my Mama, cause she's gonna spank me when I get home, but it doesn't affect anybody. That sort of thing, great. But why do we tolerate the other stuff? I mean, the other stuff that affects everybody, like what we were talking about, the fornication, you know, the alternative lifestyles. You know, how I use the word tolerate. I say we tolerate these things. But what I'm really trying to say is, and the question I'm really trying to ask is, as we see individuals with who come to our worship centers, our churches, and they have a slightly different view of what God wants and what Christianity is. If we don't welcome them in and we don't spend time with them, allow them to get to know the Christ in us as we get to know what they're, you know, what they're doing, the Christ in them, I'll say it like that. And maybe one day, Jason, maybe you'll make that connection with somebody and that person realizes at that point that the lifestyle that they may be living, they may realize it, that it goes against the beliefs and the teachings of the church as a whole, and maybe they'll change their lifestyle.
Right.
See, to me, that's tolerance, allowing them to be. I personally don't think canceling membership is going to do anything. I think it's just going to further alienate them. I also don't think the way we do it helps very much either. You can help, but, you know, you got to be out of sight. And you said something, Jason, that was funny to me, because you said when you look at it that way, I think you tend to worry about how it looks, right? Because here's a for instance. If, let's say, we had a couple, a same-sex couple in the church. Let's say we got two of them. Let's say one of them is two men and one of them is two women. Both men, they look like football jocks. They act like men. There's nothing feminine about them, but they're a couple. And we got these two women. There's nothing manly about them. They're both feminine. They look, they're just ladies. But Jason, you know that those two couples, I believe, would be accepted in 99% of our churches.
Yep.
If we know that they're a same-sex couple. But let them be the other. Let both men be very feminine. And let both women be very manly. We ain't trying to hear it, are we? See, I guess I'm just trying to figure out how we do this tolerance in our churches today. How are we doing it? And my own opinion is one such that I don't even want to say it like this, but I'm going to say it. I'm disgusted with the way we do church today sometimes. I really am. Like,
to go back to what you said, I think what happens is we were more tolerant of the perception than we are of the, I take that back. We are too tolerant of perception We're not as tolerant to the perception. We're too tolerant to the heart, right? Where if someone looks that they're living a sinful life. Let somebody come in with a bunch of tattoos and stuff. Oh no, I don't know if I want you working with the kids, right? Just because of the perception. Might be the best person, may have a heart for kids, who love kids, and you know, can speak into their life and have. But because he's all tatted up, the perception's like, no, I don't want you working with the kids. But let that person, and you've seen it happen, unfortunately, who love this really nice and well spoken and looks clean cut, but their heart is to exploit the children, right? We'll invite them in. Oh man, I want you to serve with the kids. Oh man, and you know, but that perception of it, but in his heart, you know, he's there to exploit the kids and to take advantage of the kids. And we'll accept that perspective, that we'll be tolerant to that thing, even though his heart's not in the right spot. Then that man who's all tatted up then has a love for kids that could transcend anybody else. So you're right, we are doing it wrong. And the hard part is we don't know a man's heart, right? We don't know the heart of the man. But the beautiful thing is we serve a God that knows all. And I think if we start practicing better discernment in the church, right, and we pray on these people that God is bringing into the fold, and we ask God to reveal, man, you know what's in their heart. You know, give me some type of clue or indication. So when I move, I'm moving in your word, in your authority, right? And, you know, but too many times, like I said, I ain't going to lie. Let somebody come to my church who's all got neck tattoos across their forehead, you know, tattoos. I know they ain't going to be in Harvest Kids. Right? And you know, and that's where I gotta come in and be like, you know what? Let me not look at the perspective. Let me not look at the perception. Let me really pray on it and say, God, just reveal to me the heart of this person. Right? Show me his heart. Because honestly and truthfully, I've seen guys like that. And they, man, if I saw them in a dark alley, I'm going the opposite way. But when you talk to them, you see that they have a heart that's incredible. But if I didn't allow myself to get past that perspective and what I see in that perception, I would have never noticed that. So I think we do too much of that as a church, right? You know, let somebody walk in. Oh wow, he looks like he's put together. Oh, he's wearing a suit, driving a nice car. Oh yeah, he must got it all put together. You know, and then here we are tripping over ourselves to try to get him in the church, get him serving. You know, that dude coming up with that hoopty. You know, three tires and still got on the donut, cracked windshield, got tape on the back windshield, you know, ain't dressed the best. And we kind of like, oh, okay. Yeah, but man, we'll pray for you, bro. Right? You know? So.
I think, because I get frustrated. I mean, I do. I get frustrated. But because in my head, I'm always thinking about, let's respect another person's right. I give you the big issue. That I get, man, I catch flack from Christians when I talk about abortion rights.
Mm-hmm.
And I say to people, and some people say, that's always your cop-out. And maybe it is my cop-out, but I say to people this. Now, y'all keep talking about America being this great Christian nation. I don't know where y'all read that at, but that's not what it is, right? But when it comes to religion, America's based on freedom, right? Yeah, let's just be honest, freedom.
Right.
In other words, we're going to allow other people to exercise their rights, which means tolerance, right? Same message Jesus preached. But I think we should allow people to be themselves. Again, as long as it's not illegal, right? As long as it doesn't harm us, right? I think we should allow people to be people. That's true tolerance to me. I let you exercise your religious beliefs. And suicide bombing ain't a religious belief, okay? That's just some people came up with. You know, warring with each other every 2 or 3 years. Come on now. I'm saying I don't mind people doing what they do. And I think we in the church, we should not mind people doing what they do as long as it does not affect others. And once it starts to affect others, then we need to do something about it. I'm struggling with a lot of the issues that are going on today. You know, we talk about tolerance. Man, I can go on and on, but there's an issue with textbooks in the classroom. you know, instead of teaching the word slavery, they want to, you know, some books, I hope it don't ever pass in any school, but they say, oh, yeah, these are just people that were involuntarily relocated. What? So when we talk about a message of tolerance, when we talk about being religiously tolerant, I'm just saying let's allow people some space to be who they are without just, you know, just beating them over the head. But at the same time, I feel like if we show tolerance to these people, then we can better teach them. If our goal is to have every person on this planet know who Christ is, understand who Christ is, I think, again, you can catch more bees with honey than you can vinegar. And I don't say we need to lie to people and sweet talk people. I think we need to allow them to see the God in us, in each of us, so that we can then forge a relationship, and then we don't have to worry about tolerance. You know, we teach them that way that we want, like what you were saying earlier, Jason, about people not being able to be members of your church. I think that we'll get a lot more mileage out of God, I'll say it like that, than we would if we did it the other way. If we were just hard line, hard nosed, extremely strict, and never allow this and never allow that, we wouldn't make it. Because think about this. Now, you know, back in the Old Testament, what was divorce? There was no such thing, was it?
Right.
And then we had the law, but nobody could keep the law perfectly, could they?
Nope.
And so what did God do? What did God do? He made provisions for us, right? Well, look here, if your wife cheats on you, well, she commits adultery, you can divorce her. See what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's the same thing with religious tolerance. We have to be that way. There has to be room for error for us because we are all born into this sinful world. We're trying to live in it, and yet we're not of this sinful world, right? But we live in it. It's a cesspool. And so I think when it comes to religious tolerance, we really, me, you, number one included, really need to reshape the way, I need to reshape the way that I view what religion is and my personal assertion of what other people should be doing. Does that make sense?
Yep.
I'm just saying because I've seen it. It's run the gambit. Like some of the things I've had to counsel with people over is premarital sex, right? Disclaimer. But premarital intercourse, right? That's a big deal, right? That's a big deal today, ain't it?
Yeah.
But guess what? I know many of pastors who are tolerant of that behavior, but they ain't going to tolerate a rapist. They're not going to tolerate a pedophile.
Right.
So, you know, we have to really have some, man, we got to really get this thing together. And nor should they. They should not tolerate anybody who does anything illegal. But I'm just, every time I think about it and every time I think the way we do things, you know, I think our goal in the church is to help heal one another, right? Have you ever met somebody, Jason, who is always trying to help other people, but they always got the most problems? Have you ever met somebody like that?
Yep.
Yeah, I have. And their problems are so difficult for them to deal with that they refuse to deal with their own problems. But, yeah, they're going to help you with yours. The church can't be like that. The church has to deal with its own issues first. Let's be tolerant that we're broken, but let's try to fix it. And as we fix our issues, we can help other people get to that same point in their lives. That's it. For me, when I think of being religiously tolerant, I think of things like that. I think that that we definitely need to show one another grace. Yeah.
And you know, and I think when we look kind of just kind of bring a big, really big picture, right? I think the lack of tolerance that we see just in our culture, we the church should start that. You said something at the beginning, and it just resonated in my heart how we are tolerant to racism in the church. And most people won't say we are, right? Most churches are like, no, we go against racism in the church. Really. But why is most of your church all one race? And, right? Why is Sunday the most segregated day in the week? And there is no, you don't see a big push for people to make it different, right?
Nope.
So we tolerate that racism. We tolerate those differences, you know, in our own body. And then we wonder why the world is so intolerant of others and so intolerant of us. Well, we're intolerant of each other, right? So, you know, when you said that to me earlier about racism and how we as a church tolerate it, it really resonated with me because you're absolutely right. You know, you don't see too many churches who are actively pursuing, you know, diversity. They're saying like, no, man, we're going to go out there and, you know, it'd be crazy. I would love to see a congregation just all together just go show up at a church of a different race and say, you know what, we're tired of Sunday being segregated. We're going to integrate this thing. One way or another, we're going to make it happen, you know. And so, but I think we do tolerate certain things in the church that we shouldn't. And that is probably the first part, you know, if you really want to talk about it. Why does racism still exist today in our so-called Christian country? Because us as Christians tolerate racism in our own body, right, in our own congregation. So what do you expect the mainstream to do? They're just following what we do.
Yeah, and the sad thing is they're not as good as we are.
Right.
That's a sad thing. We are so very good at it. That being said, I know we're coming to the end of our show here, Jason. I just, time goes by so quick, but I just want to say this to everybody, and it's something simple for me. Sister Kimmy, you're 30 seconds. That's all I need is 30 seconds. And I think that when you think about tolerance in the church, I think we need to not demand for somebody else's approval, right? We don't have to approve of their beliefs or their practices, but what we have to do is we just have to ask people to be tolerant of other people, right? I'm not saying to a person abandon this or this, but what I am saying is I'll respect your personal freedoms if you'll respect my personal freedoms. And I believe that right there will make this world a better place. But it's also, I believe, it will attract more people to Christianity simply because we start eliminating some of the junk in our own lives. So I want to encourage everybody to try to do that this weekend. And, you know, if you find something going on, even in your house of worship, you know, hopefully Jason and I were able to kind of get a point across. But you find something wrong, you find something that's not right, you know, pray about it. Help with the situation. Don't create a whole new situation. And with that said, I just want to close out tonight by simply saying thank you for listening to us. And, you know, what we say at this time, find something you love, embrace it, and chase it. And that is your relentless pursuit. This is Cedric and Jason. We want to wish you a happy weekend. God bless you. God keep you. And we out of here. Everybody have a good weekend.
He's my roommate. your head. That's my who provides the source of your income, give you that bread.
That's my
remember when you didn't have a thing, you was not so lost.
That's my Rochelle.
Then you received double double, he increased you like full bounce.
That's my Rochelle.
Hey, that's my rock. My God's so good to me. Blessing after blessing, even ones that I can't see. I can't thank him enough,
thank him enough.
Cause he done so much,
he done so much.
He's my foundation, my God, he holds me up.
He's my rock. He's the reason I can't stop giving them praise until I drop. He took me from the bottom all the way to the top. That's why I tell the devil get back. Strapped with the word, click clack. And you ain't never gotta wonder what my faith said. I can do all things through Christ. Did you get that? Chase God, not money, that's true fact. I'm obese with belief, yeah, too fat. My foundation's too strong so it can't crack. I'm cool when life gets rocking, no ASAP. He laid down his life like a flow mat. That's why I go so hard and never go back. I'm never searching for a blessing at all, cause he's my rock when my back against the wall.
Baking up joy like peanut butter cookies. Get a taste of him and you might start looking. Get to shouting hallelujah, got everybody looking.
But that's okay though.
Yes sir, he's solid. 10 toes down, he endows me with knowledge. Provide strength when I'm weak in my body. I bounce back with a fight like Ali. But Roche, gotta know he don't play. The big homie on the block with the most game. I just lean on him like a brick wall. Catch your back when you slack, make the big fall. What a big dog, thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you Lord for giving life and sending down the Holy Christ. For refuge and fortress and solitude. I'm flexed up with a cancer like attitude.
Say